Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, June 17th, One Take Wednesday. Y'all, today I just feel the weight and the wonder of the fact that we get to read God's Word together, that we have physical copies of God's Word, and we have an auditory resource, and that God is here and His Holy Spirit is at work within us, even now as we read. And I do pray, Lord Jesus, that You would instruct us in Your Word, that You would give us wisdom and a hopeful message. We're in Genesis chapter 44 today. This is the silver cup in the sack story about Benjamin and how a silver cup is placed in his sack and all the shenanigans that ensue from that. I have a little bit of a froggy voice today, but I'm again reminded it's not about me. It's about Your Word, Lord, and Your Holy Spirit, and we stand in awe of You, and we desire that You speak to us. Now Joseph gave the instructions to the steward of the house, "Fill the men's sack with as much food as they can carry, and put each man's silver in the mouth of his sack. Then put my cup, the silver one, in the mouth of the youngest one's sack, along with the silver for his grain." And he did as Joseph said. As morning dawned, the men were sent on their way with their donkeys. They had not gone far from the city when Joseph said to his steward, "Go after these men at once, and when you catch up with them, say to them, 'Why have you repaid good with evil? Isn't there a cup my master drinks from and uses for divination? This is a wicked thing you have done.'" When he caught up with them, he repeated these words to them, but they said to him, "Why does the Lord say such things? Far be it from your servants to do anything like that. We never brought back to you from the land of Canaan the silver we found inside the mouths of our sacks. So why would we steal silver and gold from your master's house? If any of your servants is found to have it, he will die, and the rest of us will become my lord's slaves." "Very well then," he said, "let it be as you say. Whoever is found to have it will become my slave, and the rest of you will be free from blame." Each of them quickly lowered his sack to the ground and opened it. Then the steward proceeded to search, beginning with the oldest and ending with the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. At this, they tore their clothes. Then they all loaded their donkeys and returned to the city. Joseph was still in the house when Judah and his brothers came in, and they threw themselves to the ground before him. Joseph said to them, "What is this that you have done? Don't you know that I'm a man, that a man like me can find things out by divination?" "What can we say to my lord?" Judah replied. "What can we say? How can we prove our innocence? God has uncovered your servant's guilt." Now, I think that that phrase is so much deeper than just what happened today. God has uncovered your servant's guilt. And now we are my lord's slaves, we ourselves and the one who was found to have the cup. But Joseph said, "Far be it from me to do such a thing. Only the man who was found to have the cup will become my slave. The rest of you go back to your father in peace." Now, I'm going to paraphrase the next little bit. Judah goes up to him and says, "Please, please, please don't ever let that happen." And he goes on to explain that if Benjamin doesn't go home with them, his father will die. Picking up at verse 30. "So now, if the boy is not with us when I go back to your servant, my father, and if my father, whose life is closely bound up with this boy's life, sees that the boy isn't here, he will die. Your servants will bring the gray head of our father down to the grave in sorrow. Your servant guaranteed the boy's safety to my father. I said, if I do not bring him back to you, I will bear the blame before you, my father, all of my life. Now then, please let your servant remain here as my Lord's slave in place of the boy, and let the boy return to his brothers. How can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? Do not let me see the misery that would come upon my father. I hinted yesterday about how Judah was becoming kind of a Christ figure, someone who was going to give himself in place of another, as it says here in verse 33, let me remain here as my Lord's slave in place of the boy. This boosts us forward to think about Jesus and what he has done for us, that we were dead in our sin and our trespasses, and he said, let me take their place, Lord. Let me go and die the death that they deserve. And we just stand in awe of you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done. I can't wait to read tomorrow's story, because this is when Joseph makes himself known and we can finally feel a little bit of relief in this story. Turning over to the Proverbs today, we're in Proverbs chapter 7, verses 1 through 9, and then I'll read verses 24 through 27. This is a passage that warns us against adultery, but it's also a passage that warns us against walking in the paths of any kind of sin. And so as I read, I want you to ask the Lord by His Holy Spirit to reveal to you areas of your life where you are tempted to sin. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your kinsman. They will keep you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words. At the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice. I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who lacked judgment. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house. At twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. Verse 24. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word today and every day. This image of a young man headed down the path of destruction toward the house of the adulteress gets me thinking, what paths of sin are luring me in? What paths of sin are luring you in? I want you to take a minute to reflect on these different areas, and then we'll pray together that the Lord would forgive us of unrighteousness, and he would protect us and bind to our finger wisdom. Are you tempted in the areas of consumption, too much eating, drinking, or relational consumption? Are you tempted to go down the path of negative self-talk, not being mindful of what the Lord says is true about you? Or is your pathway more about gossip and negative talk about others, negative thoughts about them, not remembering that you have been forgiven so much and you are called to be one who forgives? Do you worry about your resources? Do you see busyness as a way of placating your nervousness, forgetting God? Do you walk in the path of prayerlessness and desire things other than the Lord more than the desire to abide with Him? Lord, we fall on our knees, mindful of the fact that You, like Judah, but most of all, Jesus, You stood in our place. You took on our sin, even though we have walked in the paths of sin toward the adulteress. And we want to thank You, Lord, for the forgiveness. Remind us daily, Lord, that everything we have is a gift from You. We are so grateful. We do not deserve Your kindness. Today, Lord, lead us in paths of righteousness. Help us to say to wisdom, You are my sister. Bind the teachings of Your word to our finger. I pray, Lord Jesus, that You would help us to be a people who are moderate in what we eat and drink, and relationally, that we would not be consumed by the love of another, but we would love You first. That we would not talk negatively about ourselves or others. That we would not gossip. That we would not bear false witness against another. We pray, Lord, thanking You that You are the author and provider of all. Help us, Lord, not to be a people who worry. Remind us, Lord, that You care for even the swallows and You care for us. Lord, stop us in our tracks if busyness is the way that leads us away from You. Help us not to forget You, but to live in awe of You. Lord, You are the vine. You are the vine. We are the branches. We pray that You would help us to abide in You daily and to remember that apart from You, we can do nothing. But with You, we, the branches, can bear much fruit. Holy Spirit, it is Your work in us that amazes us. You take what little we have and You multiply it. And so today, Lord, we pray for fruit in our relationships, in our own struggles against sin, and also in the world, that people would come to know You somehow, some way, through us, Your church. We love You, Lord. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.